Today, I'd like to begin by asking our women listeners two things. First, are you ready to take greater control of your financial future? Or are you just looking for tips to strengthen your individual situation? Well, if you answered in the affirmative, you've come to the right podcast. Welcome to Clear Path, your roadmap for life. I'm your host, Al Waller. And joining me is Catherine Collinson, founding CEO and president of nonprofit Transamerica Institute, to share her team's research findings and three financial strategies for women. Now look, you've focused on women in the workforce, their financial situation, and their retirement preparations for, 18 years and counting, I might add. So what did you uncover, Catherine?
Al, today's women enjoy opportunities that our grandmother's generation could only have dreamed about. However, women continue to face greater financial headwinds than men. The persistency of the gender pay gap, time out of the workforce for parenting and caregiving, and lesser access to employer benefits makes it more difficult for women to balance our short-term needs with our long-term retirement preparations. And I want to illustrate this for you. In our most recent survey of workers, we found that 37% of women cite just getting by to cover basic living expenses as a current financial priority, compared with only 28% of men.
Well, you're talking about, 4 in 10 working women who are just getting by? Well, you've got my full attention, and I'm sure our listeners too. So what more can you tell us about the strategies that you just identified?
The three strategies identified, which we'll cover in this podcast, are 1, setting financial priorities, 2, investing in yourself, and 3, seeking professional guidance when needed.
Well, let's unpack things first by talking about setting financial priorities.
This first strategy enables us to focus on what's most important and inform our daily decisions. I've already mentioned 37% of working women are just getting by to cover basic living expenses. Let's put this into context with their other financial priorities. Here's what our survey found. 53% of women cite saving for retirement as a priority, 44% cite building emergency savings, and 43% cite paying off credit card debt. In my view, these survey findings highlight the need to prioritize. So let me unpack this a little bit. First of all, if you're one of the 43% of women paying off credit card debt, especially if it's high interest rate credit card debt, that's got to be a top priority. We all know the compounding of interest can grow quickly and out of control. So it's really important to pay down any high interest rate credit card debt. Our research also finds that many women are not setting aside enough in terms of emergency savings. When we asked how much they've saved for unexpected financial setbacks, the median amount was just $2,400, which we know does not go far these days if it's a major car repair or, God forbid, a month or two unemployed. And then lastly, and this is all interrelated, Al, so please bear with me. Our survey also found that 3 in 4 women are saving for retirement, which at its face is good news. However, more than 1/3 have tapped into their retirement savings by taking a loan and or early withdrawal from their retirement accounts. And when we delved in the reasons they were doing so, some of the most common reasons were paying off high interest rate credit card debt, or they had some sort of emergency and they didn't have emergency savings to cover it. I just need to point out early withdrawals from retirement accounts, it could be the best alternative available, especially if the only other is going into high interest rate credit card debt, but it also comes at a price. You could receive an income tax bill as well as a potential 10% penalty. Those penalties have been relaxed somewhat in recent years, but you're still at risk of a tax bill and a possible penalty. Your retirement savings, that approach may be helpful now, but down the road, you're going to need those retirement savings when you're getting ready to retire.
Well, look, I'm glad to hear that women are preparing for the future with savings plans and emergency expenses, but their need for early withdrawals from their retirement accounts, I got to say, is pretty concerning. So then what are some options for women who find themselves in this situation?
It's important to understand that saving for emergencies and saving for retirement don't have to be mutually exclusive. You can save for both at the same time. It's just the amount that you direct towards each type of savings. While you're building your emergency savings, I imagine you're still going to want to continue saving for retirement in your employer's 401k, at least to take advantage of the matching contribution and whatever you feel you can afford to save. And I want to point out there's some good news. Employers are now increasingly offering ways to save for emergencies while saving for retirement. This is a new trend. Be on the lookout for it, but more and more employers are offering this. I want to point out this thing called a health savings account, or HSA. They are an extremely tax-efficient way to save for current and future health expenses. So as you're researching what your employer offers, be sure to be out on the lookout for these. And as you're setting your overall financial priorities, whether it's basic living expenses, paying down debt, building emergency savings, retirement savings, also consider healthcare savings, because we all tend to have those from one time to another as well.
You know, that all makes perfect sense. And on a personal note, I remember my better half insisting on setting aside funds for the what she called the $200 monthly surprise for unexpected repairs to appliances, cars, new roof, or, fill in the blank. Bottom line, I've got to give her credit, because she was invariably right to earmark money for just those kind of reasons. Now, let's move on to our second strategy, investing in yourself. I got to say, I'd like the sound of that. So what can you tell us here?
Investing in yourself is growing your skills and expertise to increase your value to your employer or a prospective employer, and thereby increase your paycheck. It's also a really important, what I'll call, defensive measure. In today's rapidly transforming world of work, it is critical that we all stay relevant and in step with employers' needs. According to our survey findings, only half of women workers are focused on keeping their job skills up to date, which, by the way, is slightly higher than the 49% of men who say they're doing so.
Well, that's a critical point of note for both men and women. But I also encourage women to carefully consider job choices and their career planning, because I recently read, and this was a fascinating study by the Pew Research Center, that examined gender gains and gaps in the United States. And in this, the Pew study found that in 2021, only 35% of workers in the country's highest paying occupations are women, which leads me to believe this type of information could be very instructive regarding women's career choices and their career paths. And as an aside, now, while the 35% figure is still on the low side, the good news is that percentage has increased substantially since 1980, when it was only 13%.
You've raised some really important points here. That Pew study is fascinating. As we think about it, job choice and career path can put women on whole new financial courses as well. Of course, you've got to find work that you're well suited for and you love to do, but it is highly informative that the top paying jobs out there are still predominantly held by men. So women, as you're thinking about your career choices, your education, where you want to take your career, it's a good idea to keep the type of field in mind and how much that field in general pays. And then bringing this to the here and now, if you're seeking a job, it's just so important. Research how much that job pays so that you can negotiate your paycheck. And at the same time, be sure to factor employee benefits as part of your total compensation package.
Exactly. And I'll just add here that there's plenty of intel out on the internet relative to salary surveys that can be tapped into to, truly assess your value as far as compensation packages. And if you want to take a more aggressive position, you can solicit, information from national employment agencies or search firms in the area that compile this kind of data too. Now, switching gears slightly, it's been pretty well documented that women are more likely than men to step out of the workforce for, a variety of reasons. So given those circumstances, what can they do?
This brings a whole added dimension to the strategy of investing in yourself. because you are right. Over the course of their careers, many women will face a decision whether to work part-time or step out of the workforce altogether for parenting and or caregiving for an aging parent or loved one. In addition to this being a family decision, it is a major financial decision because it involves the potential loss of income and benefits. My view is this: when facing these life decisions, you can invest in yourself, hence our second strategy, invest in yourself by envisioning solutions to help mitigate the financial and employment impacts. Specifically, and for example, seek out and develop skills and solutions that bring you the flexibility so you can continue working part-time or set up shop as a freelancer, because we know there are tons of freelance opportunities in the gig economy. By doing so, you may be able to achieve the best of both worlds so that while you are attending to your family and balancing, you know, achieving work-life balance, you're still bringing in some income, building your savings, and growing your skills, expertise, and importantly, your networks. What's more, if you can find this type of situation that's right for you, when you're ready to jump back in full time, it's going to be that much easier than if you had taken a prolonged absence from the workforce.
Great point. And given the need for flexibility by firms, witnessed during the pandemic, employees in today's market may just find a more receptive response to a requested part-time and or remote scenario. So even if your employer resists or balks, there are a lot of firms who found that remote part-time work scenario worked just fine for them. So there are options out there. And just to add on to that, keeping your head in the game makes the transition, if you should decide to return, that much easier. Think of it as staying in shape professionally. Now, as we come into the home stretch, let's discuss the third and final strategy, seeking professional guidance when needed.
Women, we don't have to go it alone. Our survey found that fewer than 1 in 3 women workers use a professional financial advisor. So our third and final strategy is seeking professional guidance when needed. It can be helpful and it can be insightful and it can make a big difference. If you are one of the 2/3 of women who aren't working with a financial advisor and not sure where to get started, a great starting point is learning about your employer's benefit offerings. Your employer's retirement plan provider may have resources available, and many employers are now offering a financial wellness program that has resources. So check those out, find out what your employer has to offer. Another option is checking with your bank, credit union, or other financial services organization, one that you're already doing business with and comfortable with, to learn about the services that they offer. I'll also point out that there are a growing number of app-based services designed specifically for women. Whichever route you choose, be sure to do your homework, do your due diligence to ensure that you're working with a reputable organization. It's your money. Regarding individual financial advisors, be sure to verify their credentials. For certified financial planners or CFPs, you can verify them at www.cfp.net. You can also check online at FINRA's BrokerCheck and the SEC's Investment Advisor Public Disclosure websites.
Great intel and perspective as usual, Catherine, so many thanks. And for those listeners who are interested in this research report that we just referenced, 23 Facts About Women's Retirement Outlook, you can find it at www.transamericainstitute.org. Additionally, this episode of Clear Path, Your Roadmap for Life honors Women's History Month, which annually highlights the contributions of women to events in history and contemporary society. Until the next time, I'm Al Waller, encouraging you to stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening. ClearPath, Your Roadmap for Life is brought to you by the Transamerica Institute, a nonprofit, private foundation dedicated to identifying, researching, and educating the public about retirement security and the intersections of health and financial well-being. You can find our weekly podcast on WYPR's website and mobile app, wherever you get your podcast, and at transamericainstitute.org. ClearPath, Your Roadmap for Life is produced by the Transamerica Institute, with assistance from WYPR. The information provided here is for educational purposes only and should not be construed as insurance, securities, ERISA, tax, investment, legal, medical, or financial advice or guidance.